Hello, and welcome to the second of two Science Signaling podcasts for September 8th, 2015. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and in this podcast, I'll be talking with Roy Silverstein about signaling events in macrophages that lead to the formation of the foam cells that are associated with atherosclerotic plaques. Low-density lipoproteins, or LDL, are particles that contain proteins, fats, and cholesterol. High levels of LDL in the blood are a major contributor to atherosclerosis, which in turn causes cardiovascular diseases like stroke and heart attack. Under certain conditions such as inflammation, smoking, or hypertension, LDL gets into the wall of arteries where it becomes oxidized. Macrophages are attracted to these deposits, and they internalize a lot of LDL. This causes the macrophages to become overloaded with lipids, and then they're referred to as foam cells, which are a major constituent of atherosclerotic plaques. One of the macrophage cell surface receptors that binds to oxidized LDL is CD36. When oxidized LDL binds to CD36, this triggers intracellular signaling events that lead to the internalization and accumulation of oxidized LDL inside the macrophage. A group from Roy Silverstein's lab at the Medical College of Wisconsin and the Blood Center of Wisconsin has identified a sodium-potassium ATPase that's important for CD36-mediated uptake of oxidized LDL by macrophages. Silverstein spoke to me from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Dr. Silverstein, welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
How does LDL get oxidized, and does oxidized LDL differ from non-oxidized LDL in terms of its physiological consequences?
Well, to answer the first question, LDL gets oxidized by products that are produced in the body, in the blood vessel wall, or even in the blood as a result of chronic inflammation. And when white blood cells and vascular cells are activated during inflammation, they produce reactive oxygen species. And the reactive oxygen species can then act on the LDL particle to oxidize, particularly the lipids in the LDL particle, and the fatty acids that are unsaturated are very susceptible to oxidation. So most of the oxidation we think takes place in the vessel wall, but some of it also takes place in the blood. And it does behave very differently than LDL. In fact, it's one of the great discoveries of modern medicine that goes back 20 or 30 years ago, that when LDL is oxidized, it no longer interacts with its receptor, the LDL receptor. And instead, it gains specificity to interact with another family of receptors called scavenger receptors. And that's what this paper is about.
Do macrophages internalize all LDL or only the oxidized LDL?
Well, all cells, including macrophages, will internalize LDL through the LDL receptor. You know, the basic purpose of LDL is to shuttle lipids in a soluble form, in a particle form, from the liver to the peripheral tissues so that the peripheral cells can take up the lipids through the LDL receptor. And the body is very smart. Nature is very smart. It's engineered the system so that if there's too much lipid, the LDL receptor gets downregulated and the cells don't take up too much, so they take up just what they need. But when the LDL is oxidized, it doesn't follow that pathway. It gets internalized by the scavenger receptors, and those aren't regulated. So the more they get fed with the oxidized LDL, the more lipid they'll take up until they get so full of lipid that they become what we call foam cells.
Those foam cells accumulate at atherosclerotic plaques. Do foam cells actually contribute to disease, or are they just sort of a marker of the formation of plaque?
No, they are a key contributor to the pathogenesis, to the generation of the plaque. They represent the largest part of the plaque early on in what you might call young plaque, or what we call fatty streaks. Those are predominantly made up of the foam cells. But as the plaque gets bigger and bigger and matures, those foam cells become very key players in the formation of the plaque. They secrete inflammatory mediators like cytokines. They produce reactive oxygen species to generate more oxidized LDL. And they eventually undergo apoptosis and die, and that leads to instability of the plaque.
You mentioned that there are different receptors that mediate the uptake of oxidized LDL versus LDL by cells. how does oxidized LDL get into macrophages? How is it internalized?
Well, one of the main mechanisms by which it gets internalized is through the receptor that we study called CD36. And through some very elegant structural biology work that was done by Dr. Stan Hazen and his lab and his colleagues, we know that the CD36, the receptor on the macrophage, recognizes a very specific group of oxidized fatty acids that are found in the phospholipids in the LDL particle. And when those oxidized lipids get bound to CD36, it triggers a signaling cascade that then tells the receptor and the bound LDL particle to be internalized, where it then goes through the endocytic pathway and accumulates inside the cells.
And so in your current paper, you've done work that further elucidates how oxidized LDL is taken up by macrophages through the CD36 receptor. How did your new results expand on what we know about that?
What we had learned before was that there's a specific signaling pathway that's activated by CD36 when it interacts with oxidized LDL. And that pathway involves Src family kinases, particularly one called LIN, which then leads to activation of other downstream signaling partners, including a guanine nucleotide exchange factor called VAV, and focal adhesion kinase, and other participants, including dynamin, and MAP kinases like JNK. And that's all work that we had done over the last 10 or so years along with other laboratories. But what we've been discovering recently and working on recently is the observation that CD36 partners with other membrane proteins to be effective at internalizing oxidized LDL. It really doesn't do it as well by itself. It needs to recruit some partners. And the new paper identifies a very interesting partner, the sodium-potassium ATPase.
That's an ion transporter, correct?
Well, it's a good question, and it is and it isn't. So it is a protein on virtually all cells that is involved in sodium-potassium exchange in an ATP-dependent manner. And it does regulate the levels of intracellular cations, as you suggest. But over the last 10 years, it's also been discovered that transporter also is a signaling molecule. And those two functions can be dissociated from each other, so that the sodium-potassium ATPase can actually function as a signaling molecule independent of its role as a transporter. And that's what we focus on in this paper, how the signaling function of the transporter cooperates with CD36 to get that oxidized LDL internalization pathway started.
And how does it contribute?
Well, the first thing we found was that it actually physically interacts with CD36. We can use several techniques. We can do something called co-immunoprecipitation, or we can do chemical cross-linking and show that the two proteins are constitutively interacting with each other on the surface of the macrophage. But if we add oxidized LDL to that macrophage or expose the macrophages to oxidized LDL, the amount of the interaction increases, and more importantly, it leads to activation of the Src family kinase LIN. So there's always a LIN bound to the sodium-potassium ATPase, but it's held in an inactive state by the transporter. And normally, the way that LIN gets activated would be through what is known as the endogenous ligands for the sodium-potassium ATPase, which are cardiotonic steroids, things like wobane or digoxin. But what we showed is that in the absence of those ligands, but in the presence of oxidized LDL, the amount of phospholin associated with the transporter increases dramatically. So it's kind of a really interesting new observation that oxidized LDL not only increases the amount of LIN associated with the CD36 sodium-potassium ATPase complex, but it converts it from an inactive to an active state.
In the absence of the sodium-potassium ATPase, how efficient is oxidized LDL internalization?
It's less efficient. So we showed in this paper that if we inhibit the expression of the sodium-potassium ATPase, either by using a genetic knockdown or a short RNA interference approach, then the amount of oxidized LDL uptake was decreased by actually more than half, and the number of foam cells that were formed were decreased by more than half.
If you inhibit the activity of that sodium-potassium ATPase in vivo in an animal, does that reduce atherosclerosis?
So what we did was we
inhibited the expression of the sodium-potassium ATPase by about 60%. So it still functioned as a transporter, but it doesn't function as a partner with CD36. And when we did that, in a mouse model of atherosclerosis, there was a very significant decrease in the amount of plaque that was formed, maybe 50 to 60% decrease in the amount of plaque.
Are there ways to inhibit the sodium-potassium ATPase pharmacologically? And I'm wondering whether or not this could be a potentially viable way for treating atherosclerosis.
Well, I think it is a potential target. The way that one might think about it would be targeted by inhibiting the interaction between CD36 and the sodium-potassium ATPase. Another possibility would be to develop an inhibitor that blocked the sodium-potassium ATPase in a manner that it wouldn't allow the associated Lin kinase to be activated. We don't necessarily want to inhibit the transporter function because all cells need that to maintain their sodium and potassium homeostasis. And I think the beauty of our work is that we showed that all it took was a 50 or 60% inhibition of expression level to knock out its role in oxidized LDL uptake. And that level of knockdown isn't enough to hurt the cells. It isn't enough to upset the sodium-potassium homeostatic balance. So that would suggest that it is a viable target.
Well, thanks, Roy, for speaking with us.
Well, it was a pleasure to participate.
That was Roy Silverstein discussing a paper published in the September 8th issue of Science Signaling by Chen and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Vanhook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.